Welcome back to No Offense Sports. I'm Makeda Royal, and today I have joining me Walter Peck Jr., shooting guard from Spring Hill College. Walter is the third leading scorer in Division II basketball. He was top 10 in three-point field goals made, and he was named to his conference's first team, and he is a Box Toro All-American. Walter, so I just want to say to you, I came across your highlights on my Twitter feed. I'm like, oh, this guy is cold. Like, you just knocking down shots, contested. So I'm like, okay, cool. Googled your stats. And I'm like, oh, he's a shooter, pretty much 40% everywhere you go since you've been in college, especially from three. And that's really amazing. So thank you for talking to me today. Usually, I just want to talk about your journey. How'd you start playing basketball? And then we're going to talk about college a little bit and some other things. So how old were you when you first started playing? And when did you fall in love with the game?
So I was about, I would say, 7 or 8. Mm-hmm. You know, my dad had me in three sports, basketball, football, and soccer. So as I, you know, got older, you know, I gravitated towards basketball more, you know, because, you know, all my other siblings, they, you know, went to other sports, you know. I was like, oh, let me see how basketball is, you know. So I just kind of fell in love with it, you know, starting at the age of about 7.
Okay. So I was talking to you a little bit earlier, and you mentioned to me that you started off your college career as a manager. Talk to me about that.
So, yeah, so COVID hit, and I was Mr. Basketball Finalist actually in high school.
Really?
And, yes, and right after, you know, COVID hit, usually Mr. Basketball Finalist, they get, like, offer from a local school, you know, but COVID hit, and, you know, everybody hit the portal, you know. College coaches were looking for more experienced players. So that's when, you know, this JUCO hit me up, Columbia State Community College, Coach Neal, you know, he kind of hit me up at the perfect time. You know, I really didn't have anything, anywhere to go. You know, this is actually in Columbia, Tennessee. But interesting part about that is in high school, I was in a dual enrollment program. It was called Early College. So basically out of high school, I had my associate's degree. So what this community college was telling me was, since you already got these credits, you know, you're going to be here for 1 year, you know, where typically you stay at JUCO for 2 years. So I was like, you're going to be there for 1 year. So I was like, oh, okay. So I did a year there and ended up just taking some business classes, ended up leaving there. And I didn't, you know, do the best that year, but I had some good numbers. But I didn't really have any looks, any interest or anything like that. So I was going to schools, you know, to try out. So I started at UTC, and I went there, you know, got a feel for the campus. You know, my GPA was a 4.0. So I was getting accepted into all these schools, you know, academically. But, you know, athletically, I was really trying to find my way. So I went to UTC, and then I had a coaching change at UTC.
Okay.
So I had to go meet the new coach. And I gave him a little index card with all my name and stuff on it, you know. And he said, okay, we'll be in contact with you. And then, you know.
He didn't get back?
Yeah. Never ended up getting back to me. And then that's when my homeboy who went to Tennessee Tech told me about Tennessee Tech. And me, I was a diver. Like, I always did research and stuff like that. So I'd already emailed every school in the country, you know, my name, height, position, you know, grades and all that, you know. And I end up scrolling through Twitter and just finding a post from Tennessee Tech. They were having an elite camp. And I saw the coach's phone number at the bottom. So, you know, I decided to text it. And I was, you know, hoping to get a reply back. You know, usually when you text coaches, they don't really don't reply.
Yeah, that's what I see a lot of people say on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah.
But then they also say the players don't text the coaches back. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah, shoot. But this coach, he actually texted me back.
Okay.
So, yeah, we was going back and forth, you know, texting probably every other week, you know. But there was one time I got done from this hoop session. You know, and this was, time was approaching, you know, for students to, you know, finalize what school to go to. You know, I still didn't have anywhere to go, you know, and the time was approaching. I got back from this hoop session. I remember in the car just breaking down crying. You know, I was crying. I didn't know where I was going to go. You know, that's when I really got caught this coach, you know, and I was vulnerable with him. And I opened up to him, and I was like, okay, you know, he said, we'll, you know, take you in, you know, can't guarantee you anything. You know, I told him I already got accepted, you know, into the school academically, you know. So I moved into the school, you know. This was the first year COVID was uplifted, so the schools were booked, you know. So I got an apartment. Me and my brother got an apartment, you know, was paying money there. And then I went up to the office, and they said, oh, okay, you know, we'll, you know, take you in as a manager, you know. You know, managers usually do a year, you know, and stuff like that, you know, so.
Is that a common path for a lot of people to become a manager, then play on the team, or not really?
Yeah, it is, but not really.
Okay. You know,
because that's really a
hard. You got to really be a hooper, though.
Yeah, you're a hooper. Yeah, usually managers are there for a year. So, you know, I started my managing duties, you know, I'm washing laundry, you know, before practice, the guys will always watch film. You know, so I would get there early, set up the camera, you know, set up the practice cart, make sure the laundry is done. You know, I would get there, you know, early, you know, and the girls sometimes still be practicing, you know, so I could, you know, just put my stuff, you know, men's basketball stuff, you know, separate from the women's. You know, and I was good with my academics, so I had time, you know, to also get my shots in and stuff like that. So while they were shooting film, while I was watching film, you know, I was on the court shooting, you know, and it kind of just started working its way up from there. How it started was the coach, you know, he decided to throw me into a drill. You know, managers usually we get thrown into the gyms to set a pick, pass, you know, stuff like that. But this drill, you know, he put me in the shoot. You know, and I kid you not, you know, I didn't miss a shot. You know?
Crazy.
Yeah, and then everybody on the sideline was like, "Who's this guy? You know, where's he from?" You know, I just grabbed my towel, put it back around my shoulder, you know, and you know, continue to you know, wipe up sweat, you know, do the things managers do. You know, so I was just really consistent at that. And then next thing you know, they're throwing me in more drills. More and more drills, you know, and I kid you not, like I didn't have a bad day, you know, and it just kind of kept escalating from there until one day, you know, the coach called me in his office, you know, called me in his office and he said, "We want to put you on the roster," you know, and try not to cry right there in that moment, you know, it was just a surreal moment, you know, apparently somebody didn't get their paperwork situated to get eligible,
so it's crazy.
Like, yeah, he was going to get a spot to me, you know, I remember leaving the gym, I called my sister first day, you know, we started crying together, you know, you know, it was a surreal moment, you know, so that's, you know, and at the same time, you know, I got out of a relationship too.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So my emotions was up and down. I really know how to feel, you know. I was happy, sad, you know. But, yeah, and then I became a player.
That's crazy. So how did you feel? Well, you just told me how you felt. But everything definitely happens for a reason. It's a reason those other schools didn't call you back. It's a reason. Is that how you feel?
Yeah. You know, a lot of people ask me, you know, how was you able to get through all that? You know, did you ever feel like quitting, you know, just giving up? And you know, I told them no, because, you know, I was really trusting in, you know, God's process for me, you know, and I tell everybody it's a mindset thing, you know. I told myself, I'm going to be a manager, but I'm going to be the best manager that I can be. You know, and I was, you know, doing the roles and jobs of everybody else there. And I said, I'm going to be consistent. You know, whatever I do, I'm just going to be the best at it, you know, and that's kind of how I got to where I got.
And that's why you're one of the best players in the country right now. I wanted to ask you, you went to Tennessee Tech. How did you end up at Spring Hill? What was that thought process like?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, wrapping up that year at Tennessee Tech, you know, I thought I did good. You know, my very first game that I got in, you know, I got player of the game. My very first game.
Really?
I got in. 6 points, 6 rebounds in less than like 2.5 minutes. You know, got the interview, you know, and actually my number was 52. You know, I didn't have a name on the back of my
jersey.
That's
a crazy number.
Yeah, it's a crazy one, you know, but it holds a lot of memories for sure, you know. But I didn't have a name on the back of my jersey, you know, and then one of the fans was like, you know, why doesn't he have a name on the back of the jersey? I was getting the game, and then next game, went to my locker.
You had a name on your jersey.
Had a name on the back of my jersey, you know, and then, you know, end of the year came. So I'm thinking, okay, I did good. Now I'm going to be able to upgrade, you know, get a scholarship, you know, but then I kind of waited it out too. You know, I think I made a mistake there. Instead of just going to the coaches, I waited it out. You know, I was to the point where, you know, I was paying $1,000 a month at this apartment. And I really couldn't afford it anymore.
Yeah, college is tough.
Yeah. I couldn't afford it anymore, you know. So, actually, as I'm packed out of my apartment and driving on the highway back home, I'm like, let me just call the coach. He hasn't hit me back, you know, because everybody was hopping in the portal.
The coach from Spring Hill or the coach at Tennessee Tech?
The coach at Tennessee Tech.
Okay.
Yeah, to figure out what's the next moves for me, you know. So I said, let me just call him, you know. Let me stop putting it on. Let me just call him because everybody was hitting the portal. So it was just like 4 dudes working out, and I was in the fourth. So I'm like, I'm for sure they're gonna probably go in it. But I said, let me just call him. So I called one of the coaches. His name was Andrew Steele, and I'll never forget what he told me. He said, sometimes, you know, you have to make, you know, selfish decisions for your career, you know, and because I was going to stay there another year, you know, regardless. But it was like, sometimes you have to make selfish decisions for your career. And basically what he was telling me was like, they were going to bring me back on another year as a walk-on, you know? Mm-hmm. And I talked to the coaches, you know, the head coach, and he's like, yeah, we see you, your role as the same, bringing you back on, you know, maybe a little bit more minutes, you know? And that's when I made the decision to hit the portal. And the connection from Tennessee Tech to Spring Hill College came when, because one of the coaches at Tennessee Tech used to coach in Alabama.
Okay.
With our assistant coach that was here last year.
Gotcha.
And so they connected me there, and that's how I got to Spring Hill College.
So you get to Spring Hill College, you're knocking down all these shots. I saw a lot of people on Twitter say, all the shots in the highlight are contested, and they are tough shots. Mm-hmm. So how do you even practice that? Somebody just... You just practicing tough shots the whole practice?
Yeah, see, I mean, I honestly think it's like my repetition. You know,
okay.
I'm constantly getting reps in. You know, it's not necessarily things that I do during that season, but it's what I do over the summer. You know, it's those reps that catch back up to me, you know, when it comes to, you know, in season. You know, so I'm going every day, you know, just the repetition. You know, everybody, some people say I look like a 70s player, play from the 70s.
Yeah,
you know?
I saw that.
Yeah, you know, I'm cool with that. You know, I got a unique game style, but it's just those repetitions, you know, that I will say is why, you know. Maybe.
Has anybody ever tried to change your jump shot?
No. Nobody has ever tried to change my jump shot, but my coach said when I first got here, he said, oh, we're going to have to do some work with that. But I came out and hit like five in a row. And
it was like, oh, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
What was your mentality going into this season like? You averaged 26 points per game, so.
Yeah, my mentality, since I was in the SIAC last year,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was asking myself, how could I improve? You know, how can I be a better person this year than I was last year? And I feel like that's hard for a lot of people to do, but I really challenged myself in that area. Because, you know, I had some, you know, decent numbers last year as well. So I said, you know, I have to be more consistent in the area. So this year, you know, I chose to focus on, you know, my three-point shot. You know, last year I would do good one half, next half, you know, just kind of silent. So this year, you know, I'm telling myself I need to put two halves together, you know, and being more consistent, you know, in my free throw percentage, my three-point percentage, you know, as well, and from the field, you know.
I noticed you had some very efficient games, especially when you played South Alabama. You had 30 points in 31 minutes. What did that performance prove to yourself or prove to other people? What did that show you?
It showed me, you know, what my hard work and dedication does. You know, before every game, I plan. You know, so I'm already going. I'm going into the game with an expectation, with a high expectation. You know, and that game in particular, you know, I wanted to improve on from the previous year that we played on. You know, I wanted to make sure, you know, to improve. And I figured going there, you know, free throw was a big thing. You know, I was perfect from the line at that game. You know, so, you know, in that game, it was just, you know, showing myself that it doesn't matter what level you're at. You know, if you can play, you can play. You know?
As you've had a great season here, you've had a great career. What will you take away from your time at Spring Hill College?
I love it here at Spring Hill, you know, for the simple fact it's a small school, close community. You know, I got an amazing coach. You know, and the players and the teams, you know, what I can take away from here. The important aspect of, you know, what you do despite, you know, the losses, you know, because we wasn't very successful this year, but we still had a good time, you know, and I feel like it's deeper than basketball, you know, it's about those relationships.
Right.
You know, so coming from here at Spring Hill College, you know, they really, you know, showed me that, you know, it's not always about wins or losses, but it's about family. It's about camaraderie. You know, it's about relationships. So that's what
right.
I can take away.
You'll be friends with some of your teammates for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. I didn't get to play basketball at a collegiate level, but I'm actually very close friends still with my AAU teammates from seventh grade.
Mm-hmm.
So it's crazy just the relationships that sports can build. And that's why I really encourage it, especially for young kids, even if they don't want to play in college, it's a great way to make friends. It's a great way to, like you said, hard work. Life's not always about wins and losses, but what you do after.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you about, Are there any misconceptions about being a Division II basketball player that people in the basketball community may have?
One, I mean, I feel like with D2, they think that you're not as good, you know, as say like a Division I guy, you know, and like I was saying earlier, I feel like if you can play, you can play, you know. But I feel like that's one of the main ones. You know, people kind of look down on D2 players, you know, but I think, you know, if you can play, you can play, you know.
What would you say to a high school player right now that's debating, should they go D2, should they go D1, should they go JUCO? What advice would you give them?
You know, I would say it's all about the right fit, you know. And also there was something that I learned along my journey, which was, you know, comparison, you know, is a thief of all joy. You know, I may have got these fresh J's for Christmas, you know, sweater sevens, I always wanted them. But then I look over at my homeboy, you know, he got the Space Jams.
Yeah.
You know, so now all of a sudden, my sweater sevens are not as special to me anymore, you know, and I'm not, you know, grateful for what I have, you know. So I would say similarly in basketball, in your process, you know, it's not about D2, D1, NIA. It's about, you know, really, you know, accepting, you know, your role, you know, and your journey, you know, not really comparing it to anybody else's, you know, and keeping God, you know, at the front of that, you know. So that's what I would say to a young guy.
NIL is a big thing. Do you know of any Division II basketball players getting NIL? Is that a thing? Do they have D2 collectives?
You know, I don't know. You know, I see, like, we didn't do it here, but other Division IIs, they do, like, jerseys and stuff like that.
Gotcha.
You know, but, like, I haven't heard of any, you know.
26 points per game. What, from 3, 40%? 42%. 42%? Sorry.
Oh, no,
I knew it was pretty high, though.
You're good.
That success has led you to a lot of accolades and now to the portal. What schools are currently looking at you, if you feel comfortable sharing?
So I have schools, you know, UTC, you know, the school that I was talking about earlier.
I think aren't they in the NIT?
UTC, yeah, right now. Yeah, they're going to play Dayton, I believe.
Yes.
But, Murray State, Lipscomb, Austin Peay, Florida Gulf Coast, and Mississippi State was a big one. San Diego State, you know, Marshall, you know, it's a nice list. I would say I'm truly blessed, you know.
What are you looking for in a program at this stage in your career?
I'm looking for, like, finding the right fit, you know, being able to go somewhere where I can, you know, do the similar things that I did here. You know, and most importantly for me, you know, it's about my education. So I'm looking, you know, master's programs, you know, seeing, you know, if there's master programs that I like, you know, things like that. You know, education is really big to me.
Okay.
And then, you know, just the ability to, you know, get along with, you know, my coaches and my teammates, you know.
What will be a deciding factor for you when it's time to make that decision?
I believe it's going to be, you know, how well do I mesh with, you know, the coaches, you know, and just by talking with someone, I feel like I can get a good gist on it, but like how well I mesh, you know, with the coaches, that's going to be big. And like I said, with education, you know, looking, you know, into the master programs, the school has the master program. And like I said, I don't want to go to a big school and not be able to play. I still want to be able to go somewhere where I could, you know, showcase my talents.
What do you want people to know about your game, especially as you take it to the next level?
What do I want people to know about my game? I say, you know, God is the reason why I play. You know, I feel like my game attracts a lot of people to me, which I can then lead them to, you know, God. You know, so I say when somebody sees my game, you know, sees my funny jump shot, you know, or anything like that, just I want them to know that I play because, you know, of Christ. He's the reason why I play. You know, it's not anything that I'm doing. You know, it's, you know, everything that He has done for me. You know, so.
Got to give all the glory and honor to God.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
All right. So it is March Madness. Pick your champion.
To be honest, Duke. I'm going with Going with Duke.
I picked Duke too.
Yeah. I just feel like they're a sound team all around, you know.
Did you make a bracket?
Nah, I didn't make a bracket. It's just,
Yeah, you just like to watch.
Yeah, just going with it.
Okay,
yeah,
which game are you most excited about today?
I don't even know.
I know St. John's is playing Arkansas.
Oh.
I think that'll be a good win.
Oh, yeah.
I think Connecticut plays today, but I forgot who they play. But okay. I did want to say thank you for coming. Yes. Good luck in the transfer portal. I hope many more blessings come your way. I can't wait to see you at the next level.
Yes, thank you so much.
Walter Peggs, everybody.